with news, commentary, controversy, and information about officiating high school sports, this is Officiating Oklahoma. Now here's your host, Jason Seichel.
Hey, coming at you again, Jason here. This is going to be part two to the 2022, I guess it is, football rule changes for National Federation. If you remember last week, I talked about how any official may change the game ball now. It doesn't require just the referee, even though a lot of us had standing orders with the guys on our crew that we could bring them in and out and all that good stuff. The other one that we talked about is wearing the number zero. Once again, congratulations, you can wear zero on your jersey, which means, I guess, you're a nothing. I don't know. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And then the other thing that they had changed was the chop block. Now, they are supposedly making it easier for us to call it, but also making it easier for now a player to punish another one and severely hurt them. There's three others that I'm going to talk about. And then, though, there was also that other one that I didn't really mention. That was about the team box. So that was the other four. These are the last three that I'm going to talk about. The first one is Rule 347. It clarifies how the offended team's game clock option. It says here that any foul committed within the last 2 minutes of either half will automatically result in the offended team's option to start the game clock on the snap. Prior to this change, the offended team was required to accept its opponent's penalty in order to gain control of the clock. I don't see an issue with that. The other thing is the committee edited the exceptions. That's going to be in 361A. Which clarify the necessary conditions for an abbreviated 25-second play clock after a stoppage in play. This rule now includes an exception for 357I, mandating that a 40-second play clock be employed following a foul committed only by the defensive team. So, I guess, you know, regular situation, you have somebody, you know, whatever, they're trying to burn the clock out and that kind of stuff, and the defense commits a foul on the play, which in normal time they would have just spotted the ball and then wound it. I guess in this situation it mandates that you can spot the ball, and whenever you start that thing up, the play clock goes for 40 seconds. Those are fine. I'm okay with those changes. There's not a real big deal about it. But the one we will be talking about is, I'm kind of on the fence about it. It's Rule 752. They've added an exception. It now permits a player to purposely throw an incomplete forward pass without warranting an intentional grounding penalty, provided the passer is outside of, here's the word that you hear, the pocket. So, yes, now whenever we hear somebody holler about a quarterback being out of the pocket and all that stuff, you know, in the past, it doesn't matter where the quarterback's at. If he throws it where there is nobody in the immediate area to catch the pass, you've got intentional grounding. Now they've changed that rule to where if he's outside of the quote-unquote pocket, which is they're defining as the lateral boundary of the free blocking zone, and the pass reaches the neutral zone or the extension of the neutral zone beyond that sideline, he can do that now. So I guess if he runs outside the pocket and then heaves that sucker 40 rows up into the bleachers, you got nothing. Okay? Here's my problem, and I've always hated this pocket and all that stuff. When is a quarterback running out of the pocket? Usually because he's under duress. He's getting pressured. There's, you know, the offensive line's not doing their job, or you've just got a behemoth on the defense that's blown through him and he's coming after that guy. Here's the big deal, and they've already mentioned this with National Federation, and the question's going to be, if the defense makes a great play or a good play, is this rule bailing out the offense by letting the quarterback throw the ball away? Well, this was brought up with National Federation, and their whole thing is they're thinking on it, and this is in quotes. It says, this year, I think the committee felt that the well-being of the passer and not subjecting them to extra hits was worth changing the rule. Okay, they say extra hits. How often are you seeing a quarterback getting, you know, quote-unquote sacked, getting tackled in the backfield? It doesn't really happen that often. Now, you're taking that chance that a defensive player that has already made this great move and put this quarterback into rest, you are now basically taking it away from him. So instead of, you know, him potentially getting a sack or stopping that quarterback and losing yardage and them losing that down, the only thing that's going to happen is the quarterback's going to throw it away. They go back to the original line of scrimmage and they lose the down. It's basically like he just threw an incomplete pass. So that pressure that that lineman put on the guy, I mean, it's basically, it's taking away from any kind of hard work that he's done. So here's my thing, is that the defensive player is now getting punished for doing a good job. And all you have to worry about now is having good defensive backs to knock passes down. You don't have to, if your quarterback's under pressure, all he has to do is run to the side and throw it out of bounds. Now, he might have that chance where if he goes to run out of bounds or run, you know, outside the free blocking zone and then get met with another defender there and then have a split second where he could make that sack. But it's, they're taking it away. It's not going to happen. I think they take more and more away from the defense to bail out the offense. And I understand that you got to look out for the kid, the player, their safety, because in reality, this is just a sport. It's just a game. At the end of his high school career, you know, whatever the number is, like 99.7% of them or whatever it may be are not going to go on to play college sports, okay? So I understand we don't need these kids getting hurt and ruining any kind of career they may have doing something else. So I get it. You've got to protect them. But you're also inside, and with that protection in mind, you're also hurting the defense. You're taking away from that defensive player. And I don't know. I'm still going to be on the fence about it. Either give it to them or not give it to them. I get it. They're trying to save, you know, the quarterback, or, you know, stop, limit him from getting hurt or whatever. But I don't know. I'm still kind of on the fence about it. And that's going to be the big things. Let's see, I talked about the other tool, and that's going to be all of the rule changes for this year. Don't forget, you know, if you're on Anchor, you can send me a comment or ask me a question by, you can do the audio questions. If you're on Apple Podcasts, leave me a review. Let me know how you think I'm doing, whatever it may be, whether it's crappy or fantastic or, you know, whatever. But anyway, I appreciate you guys listening. Y'all have a great day.
Thanks for listening to Officiating Oklahoma, hosted by 20-year veteran sports official Jason Seichel. Please visit our website at officiatingok.com and be sure to join us soon for another episode of Officiating Oklahoma.